Would you really be so surprised to find that we were not the only life forms of the universe? Well, maybe soon we will find out indeed. The search for Earth-like worlds is gathering momentum with a recent discovery of new worlds and the initiation of a state-of-the-art planet-hunting telescope. A new European mission aims to build on this work to closely examine stars and their planets. And some scientists believe we will find other life forms indeed in the universe in the very near future. Sonia Dean takes a look.
Space, the final frontier. The mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before. But this is no science fiction, this is science fact. Human exploration of space has been making new inroads. Earlier in January, scientists working with the Kepler mission announced the discovery of 8 more Earth-like planets. Doug Caldwell, a scientist for NASA's Kepler mission, describes the discovery.
The planets are all relatively small. They are all orbiting stars that are smaller or cooler than the sun, and their orbital periods range from 34 to 207 days.
The discovery includes 2 planets considered to be the most Earth-like so far. The planet with the rather unromantic name of Kepler-438b, for example, is about 450 light-years from our Earth. It orbits a red dwarf star, which got me thinking. What would the sun look like on that planet? Doug Caldwell again.
It would definitely be redder. It's a much cooler star than the sun. It's about 3,800 degrees Kelvin, which would make it appear to our eyes very red. It's about half as big as the sun, but the planet is about 5 times closer, so it would appear bigger in the sky. The orbital period of that planet is 35 days, so their year is much shorter.
So the term Earth-like is relative, science fiction indeed. And so how does Kepler, which was launched in 2009, actually detect planets anyway?
Kepler is staring at many thousands of stars and monitoring their brightness. And what happens is if a planet is orbiting that star and the orbit is lined up such that it passes in front of the star as seen from the Earth, it'll block a little bit of the light of that star. And that eclipse or transit is what Kepler detects. And the amount that the light dims tells us how big the planet is relative to its star. That's all Kepler gives us, the orbital period and the radius. And that's the transit method.
But what about the composition or atmosphere of the planet? That's where the Next Generation Transit Survey, or NGTS, comes in. Housed at the European Southern Observatory in Chile's Atacama Desert, where the air is nice and dry, the brand new array of 12 telescopes started operating just last week. It builds on what Kepler's been doing, explains Peter Wheatley, a principal investigator for the new telescopes.
So once we found planets, we also want to measure the weight of the planet, see how much mass it has. And we need to do that by using much larger telescopes and detecting the wobble of the star, because the planet's gravity tugs on the star, makes it wobble. Then the size of that wobble tells us the mass of the planet. And by combining those measurements, we get the density of the planet, which is really the key to understanding its composition.
The NGTS is specifically looking at a category of planet with the fascinating label super-Earths. Wheatley explains.
A super-Earth is a planet in between the size of the Earth and Neptune. And it's a class of planet that's sort of particularly interesting to us because we don't have any examples in the solar system. And yet the early results we've been getting from various surveys seem to show that they're common around other stars, but also that they're a really fascinating mixed bag of different types of planets. It seems that there are some that are just very large rocky planets, others that could be what we call water worlds, where they're essentially dominated by water, perhaps with oceans that are thousands of kilometers deep. And then also seem to be planets that are in this size range. They're actually sort of just fluffy, small gas planets.
But in order to get a really good look at other stars and planets, you have to get back out into space. And that's what the European Space Agency's PLATO mission will do. To be launched in 2024, the PLATO craft's design might be compared to the compound eye of an insect with numerous smaller telescopes. Don Polacco, science coordinator for the PLATO mission, says this gives PLATO a much broader field of view than Kepler has. And unlike Kepler, PLATO will not orbit the sun, but rather a fixed point in space called L2, as Polacco explains.
It's in space and it's at the L2 point where the system can be very stable. And so it can see very small signals that are indicative of small planets. The next advantage that PLATO then has is that the stars that PLATO is looking at are much brighter.
Polakow also underscores how Plato has built upon missions like Kepler and projects like NGTS. It's all about getting more information and more specific information.
To understand the planets, you also need to understand the star. Every measurement you make to determine something about the planet is determined from the star. So Plato is all about understanding the star and the planet together.
And stars with planets are aplenty, as Kepler has shown. Up to half of all red dwarf stars have Earth-like planets orbiting them, Doug Caldwell told me. And if the universe is infinite, doesn't that mean that there has to be other life? Peter Wheatley.
I think most astronomers would share that view. The scale of the universe is so great, the number of stars are so enormous, and we know now, only in the last few years, that planets around stars are very common. So if you put that together, it seems more strange if we were the only planet with life on in the universe. And I think it's sort of possible that within our lifetimes that we could have an answer to that question.
But would it be intelligent life? Would it even want to know us? Would it be close enough in this vast universe for us to actually meet? Don Polakow once more.
I'm from the Star Trek generation. and the search for life in the universe and aliens and all this kind of stuff, our place in the universe, they're the big questions. It's good that us as a species ask.
And keep searching. For DW, I'm Sonia Dean.